Good morning, my friends. Skip here. 6:03 a.m., March 13th. Speaking to you from a little house on the beach in Galveston, Texas. You will note a little hoarseness in my voice. I think my body's in a little shock from all the pollen, possibly, because things are in full bloom down here, whereas back in Iowa, they are not. But my family and I are enjoying a nice spring break, and I hope that you're able to get one wherever you're at, even if you stay at home. It's so important, my friends, to break those ties that bind us to the everyday grind once in a while. The grind will be there when we get back, but it's important. So I wanted to give an official full-length podcast, at least one, while I was down here. A couple days ago, I gave a short version just to stay in touch, but let's talk about spirituality. I want to talk today about how important it is, and maybe a better way to say it, to be self-reflective, to be self-aware. To be brutally honest with one's self. And I'll tell you that that's part of the package. The package of spirituality comes with a lot of things. The package of authentic spirituality comes with a lot of different aspects. It comes with the capacity to have compassion, capacity to have empathy, the capacity to seek justice, the capacity to love other people, all good stuff. But it's a package, and it also comes with the necessity to be honest with oneself about one's motives. And I think if I could make a bold statement, which I'm not afraid to make usually, that's one of the ingredients that defines authentic spirituality, opposed to the spirituality offered by the world. Because so much of what's offered by the world as spiritual, ideas about God, ideas about religion, depend on us not being self-aware to perpetuate themselves. In other words, you know, the hard questions of theology. If God is all love, then where does evil come from? Or, you know, the classic "who put the snake in the Garden of Eden" question. Those kinds of things can never really be resolved thinking theologically, because they're questions that come from an awareness of the gaps and the holes and the questions and the twists and turns that the Bible has, the Quran has, the ideology of any belief has. And so that sort of self-aware reflection, the articulation of those difficult questions, the thinking about those difficult questions, it's a part of being self-aware. And an important part of being self-aware is the capacity to be self-reflective. What's your motive behind this choice? What do you really want behind that choice? What are you really trying to achieve in different relationships? And let's not fool ourselves, my friends. Let's not pretend that somehow we are holier than thou, because we still operate out of that place. We still operate out of a place where we engage in relationships in order to acquire something. The way our reality is made, I think, the false reality, most certainly. But I do believe there's also a piece of the real reality that, you know, things like wanting to be appreciated, wanting to be loved, wanting to be seen. Those things are important. But they're also important to be loved, to be seen. It's also important for yourself. In other words, you have to be able to see yourself on the spiritual quest. You have to be able to see your own motives. You have to be able to see what you're, how you're living is often transactional with just yourself. And I think part of what is so important in the spiritual journey is to be brutally self-reflective about your own motives. It's not easy because, as I have said a billion times, we are products of a process that circumvents the self-reflection we need to grow spiritually. Because if you're self-reflective, then as I just said, you're going to ask those tough questions of the people around you. You're going to ask the tough questions of yourself. And, excuse me, and that's not easy to do. Because then you have to say to yourself, okay, well, I see what I'm trying to achieve here, and it's transactional. I'm needing something from this person or this situation that might be your ego. It might not be. And you have to navigate that, my friends. I think the most difficult part of growing spiritually in this reality is to navigate the reality spiritually. Right? It is to see people for who they are. It is to see yourself for who you are. It is to live to the best you can out of those places. It is to not be overly critical of yourself. Because you're learning. I'm learning. It is to realize that there are some legitimate needs and legitimate wants in the world. It is to realize that even if you're going after your legitimate needs, you can't hurt other people doing that. It is to not think of yourself as worthless. You have to think of yourself as something very worthwhile. It's not easy, my friends. It's not easy. But I think a part of what makes it more difficult is the sheer inability for people to know themselves deep enough, to know their motives, to know who they are, to really express their authenticity. Let me see if I can't give you sort of a blanket example here. And you probably know someone like this, I'm sure. Maybe you know someone who claims to be spiritual. And you see a lot of social media posts. You hear a lot of talk from them about how they're spiritual. Red flag number one. And then you see them do a lot of complaining about how life isn't, or about how they're the victim. And I'm not saying people aren't victimized. Trust me. But I promise you this, that people victimize others as much as they are a victim. But you read on social media or you talk to this person, and there's always some complaint or some way they act toward you that would indicate that they're jealous or they're wanting to play the victim or they have some other agenda, all of that, jealousy, envy, an agenda, victimization, being the victim, all of that comes from a lack of self-awareness. Excuse me. It all comes from a lack of not understanding oneself, one's motives. Now, here's the struggle, is that once you begin to understand your own motives, your own, even if your own wants and needs are legitimate, we are so programmed to do whatever we can to get those wants and needs met that we can do harm. Hey, we've all done it. But I think if we're self-aware, it can stem that harmfulness that we often live out of. Because then we can relate to the other person. Then we can find support from people we can trust. Because we intuitively know who they are. We're aware of them. We're aware of ourselves. Then we can begin to really explore who we are authentically. But none of that can really happen if we don't have the simple ability to say, hey, the way my life is because of me. It's because of the way I'm programmed. It's because of the choices I make. You, my friend, probably would not be so surprised, but I'm going to say it like that. I think we would all probably be a little bit surprised, if not a lot surprised, about how grossly, I'm trying to find good words for this, how prevalent it is that people cannot say, hey, this was my fault, you know? We don't have the ability, we've not been taught the ability to say, I might be wrong, this might be my fault, I've made this bed I have to lie in. We try to blame, we try to deflect, we try to displace, we try to point fingers. I work in elementary schools. I raise teenagers. I see it every day. It's their fault. It's their fault. And no one says, well, that was me. That's on me. Let me give you a silly example, sort of. When I was younger, when I was in high school, and you were playing basketball or at a basketball game, and the foul was called, it was expected that the person who the foul was on would raise their hand, would admit to the foul. Now, not every foul is someone's fault, but, you know, but that was kind of a common courtesy. It takes a bit of humility and self-reflection to say, well, that was on me. I'm here to say, my friends, that we don't do that. Now when you go to a basketball game, if a foul is called, they want to argue with the ref. Hey, refs aren't always right. But we have lost that ability to admit, to confess, to ourselves at least, to own our own stuff. Because we have lost, to some degree, maybe we never had it, the ability to be self-reflective enough to admit when we're wrong, to admit to our mistakes. Anyway, there you have it. Maybe I might be able to give another one tomorrow morning. Depends on when I get up. Anyway, thanks, my friends. I will talk to you soon, no matter what. And we're back at home next week so we can get on a regular schedule. Talk to you then. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.